In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, Christ is in our midst. Christ is risen. Every year I forget on St. Thomas Sunday in the sermon to say Christ is risen. A few years ago we were listening to Stephen Cristoforou, who some of you may know, did a YouTube series called Be the Bee, and he did a little ministry workshop which was online that some of us took. And one of the points that he made that was that as modern human beings, as who are living in a secular society, and in a society that has stripped away all spirituality from it, he said that our Christianity and our expressions of faith are very distinct from the expressions of faith that you might see in the Middle Ages or earlier than that. And one of his points was to say that any expression of faith that we have now is typically haunted by doubts. And of course, that's because for the last 500 years, there's been a stripping away of spirituality from the public realm. There's been a stripping away and then a switching to psychology, a switching to science, a switching to anything but classical Christian understanding of the world and of how things work. So what this means on a certain level is that each one of us, as faithful Christians, are going to struggle with certain passages in the scriptures. You may remember that specifically St. James says that if you pray but you have unbelief, that your prayers don't go very far, that you're unstable, essentially. Those sort of, you can hear the Apostle Paul in Hebrews say, without faith, it is impossible to please God. So in our generation, if you're like me, and you struggle sometimes with faith, it's easy to feel condemned, to feel, in a sense, that you're not adding up. Well, the truth is, as Christians, we're never really adding up. But I think it also behooves us to think about our generation for what it is. And to say that, to take away the taboo, and say that as a Christian in the modern era, it is entirely normal to occasionally, or even for some, all the time, wrestle with doubts. Now, it's not just that we wrestle with doubts, but each one of us has a unique personality. It's possible that you've met somebody who exudes faith, and forgive me, it's a negative analogy, but I have met people where I've walked away and I thought they were kind of like used car salesmen, which we consider a negative analogy, but I guess what I mean is that they seem so confident within their hearts. They were so absolutely unwavering in their faith, in their belief in whatever it was that they were proclaiming, that it was hard for me to believe. And that's how that personality works. That's just how that person was. And I've met multiple people like this. I've met people who have a very simple faith. Maybe you heard it when you're a Protestant. This is what the scriptures say. God said it, I believe it, that's it. And I've met people who operate on that level. If the priest said it, or if the church said it, or if the scripture said it, that's it. No debate. And they're comfortable with that. Then you have people, and I hope not to be too vulnerable, like myself, where from a very young age, have been skeptical. My wife will tell you, rather frustratingly, that almost anything she tells me, I will sometimes say, that's not true. Or challenge her in some way to prove the veracity, whether it's a news story or a theory or something that's happened. By nature, skeptical. And in the scriptures, someone like myself would condemn themselves. So, you know, God, why would God listen to my prayers? I'm not simple. I don't just believe. But I can't change who I am, and I'm telling you, it's just part of my personality, and as much as I wish I could change my personality, and believe me, at times I wish I could change my personality, I can't. That's what I'm stuck with, right? That's what you're stuck with too, by the way. So we have an example today of the Apostle Thomas. And there's kind of a, I want to say a cliche or a trope. Thomas is always late. You know, it's not just that he comes in late, 8 days late this time. He's also going to do this for the Dormition of the Theotokos. Thomas comes in late and he has doubts. Unless you show me, unless I really see it, I'm not going to believe it. Now, let's make a distinction. Thomas is not saying, this is so impossible that I will never believe it. I will never believe it. He's saying, on some level, that he needs verification. Interestingly enough, all the apostles needed the same verification. Jesus came and stood in their midst. He says, peace be unto you, on the first Sunday, the day he rose from the dead. And they saw him and they believed. Thomas wasn't there. Thomas is almost asking for the exact same thing that they had. But he adds that he wants to put his fingers in the print of the nails, his hand in the side. Jesus comes 8 days later, which just also happens to be on a Sunday. Imagine that. Christians gathering on a Sunday every week. You should absorb that and think that, you know, to praise you all for being here, because, you know, thank you for being here. That's not really what it's about. But Christians have always worshiped on Sundays. From the very beginning of Jesus' resurrection, they would gather together on Sundays, and that's where Christ would manifest himself, in their gathering. So Jesus encounters, or excuse me, Thomas encounters Jesus with the print of the nails and with the hand in his side. But it doesn't say that he ever sticks his hands in his side or puts his finger in the prints of the nails. The confession that comes from Thomas is, as he encounters Christ, is, my Lord and my God. Now you may remember that at Pascha last week we read the beginning of St. John's Gospel. It said, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God. At the end of the gospel today, when Thomas sees Jesus, he makes that personal profession, my Lord and my God. You see, some who wrestle with faith, some who have doubts, are given an opportunity to wrestle with God himself and to encounter him on a deeper level. So instead of condemning ourselves, we have to. We should think of different ways of approaching our own restless souls. Number one, when I have a serious doubt, I go and I talk to somebody. Typically, I would go to confession and say, "Look, I got. There's something in my soul that says this isn't true. I've been very surprised to have things lift right off me." In that situation. Secondarily, we have the prayers in the scriptures. I want to believe. Help my unbelief. This is the prayer of the father whose son is going to be healed. The third thing, of course, is to engage in prayer in general, to wrestle with it. In some extent, to accept your personality, to accept your own skepticism, not as somehow faulty, but as things that God has to work with, because that's who you are. And God wants to know you. And he doesn't want us all to be cookie cutter. Thank God for those who have instant faith. Thank God for those who have the confidence and the power and strength to believe right away. As a matter of fact, Jesus says, blessed are those who haven't seen and yet believe. Thank God that people exist like that. But also, thank God for that profession we hear today, my Lord and my God, which comes from Thomas, who is willing to believe, but also has the heart that is a skeptic and is a little bit doubtful. So, may the Lord God reveal himself in this Paschal season to us. May he come into our hearts somehow. May he open us, and may we encounter him the way the Apostle Thomas did, so that we can say, my Lord and my God. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, Christ is in our midst. Christ is risen.